Welcome to our paranormal afterlife.
This is episode 216 of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm reading from Jen Scott Pickett's book, Reincarnation Explained Without Religion. What happens after death, why some children remember past lives, and how reincarnation really works. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from chapter 5, which is titled Designing Your Next Life: Who Decides and Why? And this is what Jen has written. Let's rip the band-aid off. You choose your next life. It's not up to a team of angels or a cosmic judge in a celestial robe. There are more advanced spiritual beings there to help you, sure. But ultimately, you're the one who plans your next life. You. This truth shows up over and over with every spiritual teacher I've read. And it's even strongly implied in the scientific work done by researchers such as Dr. Ian Stevenson and Dr. Jim B. Tucker. When I say you choose, I mean you decide who your parents will be and where you're born. You choose your body and appearance, all of it. You know what your challenges will be because you've designed the life with specific goals in mind, whether with the intention of teaching yourself something or helping someone in your soul group to evolve. It's inevitable that when I say this sort of thing, people either find it empowering or they get really pissed off. Totally fair. Because sometimes it means admitting that yes, you chose that difficult parent or an environment of hardship. And I get it if you're feeling defensive. Why the hell would you choose to be born into poverty or to have an abusive father or a physical limitation? First things first, it's important to know you don't choose it to suffer. It's not a punishment or payback or cosmic revenge. It's not about karma coming to get you. It's simply about growth. You chose it in order to learn, expand, and evolve. Stick with me. I've got a helpful analogy that more or less originates from Abraham Hicks. If Serena Williams is choosing a tennis partner, she doesn't say, "Please give me someone who sucks so I can have an easy time." No, she wants someone who challenges her. So do you. Let's take it a step further. Serena Williams wants someone to challenge her because it's more fun and satisfying. She doesn't want to be defeated. She wants to be so good that she can kick the ass of a really difficult opponent. Does she choose a tough match because she thinks she's unworthy? Nope. It's the exact opposite. She knows she can handle it, or at the very least, she can learn to handle it. Apply the same logic to reincarnation and choosing your lives. The goal is to level up, improve, to get better and stronger, because it feels good to do so. Specific reasons you might have chosen a particular life. Maybe you needed contrast or a fresh perspective. Perhaps you're exploring empathy from another angle or balancing past life experiences and healing trauma. It could be that you're simply experimenting with new identities and learning different skills. Maybe the lesson you're teaching yourself is how to draw and keep boundaries to protect yourself. Choose yourself. Seth tells the story of how he was a poor widow with several kids in one life, while he was a rich priest in another. As the priest, he regularly feasted on whatever foods he wanted, whereas, as the impoverished woman, he was starving most of the time. But food tasted so much more exquisite when he was the widow. It's not because it's holier to be poor or that it was sinful for him to have money. It's simply what the contrast taught him. When you take something for granted, you don't enjoy it as much. But when you're grateful, it's a more divine experience. So, what about the big sins? Where's the justice? If you kill someone in a past life, it doesn't mean you're destined to be murdered in the next life. It does mean that you may put yourself in a position of being a caretaker of the person you once hated, so that you now are in a position to love them properly and to make up for the hurt you caused. Or you may simply choose the life of a doctor or nurse who heals others. Your life is never just about you, either. There's a whole soul group you're working with. Think of it like the cast of a play, or actually, think of it like Adam Sandler's circle of friends and how they regularly show up in different roles in his movies. While you have your own personal goals for each life, you're also working with your soulmates during the in-between planning stage and throughout many lifetimes. You partner up in ways that give each of you an opportunity to evolve in specific areas. And those lucky people who do seem to have such easy, perfect, chill lives, there's a strong possibility they are low-key resting after a difficult or traumatic lifetime. Or maybe they're taking a softer approach to their lessons, unlike those of us hardcore overachievers who decided to tackle a heavy caseload. So, anyway, I'll say it again for the billionth time. You're not being punished, you're choosing your curriculum, and your soul, which has a much bigger perspective than your human self, knows exactly what it's doing. So now I'm going to move on to chapter 7, which is titled Souls, Soul Groups, and Relationships Across Lifetimes. Okay, let's talk about soulmates, the real kind, not the only one perfect partner for me kind. I've got another mini book coming out dedicated exclusively to this topic, but I'd be remiss not to address it here too. Are soulmates real? Yes, absolutely. But this may mean something different from what you initially think. Most people think of soulmates in a purely romantic way. But a soulmate is really just someone you have a strong history with. In fact, soulmates, soul families, and soul groups are basically all the same thing. In each lifetime, as well as during the in-between state, you encounter the same core group of souls and you work out your karma and learn, grow, have fun by trying out different roles with those people. Friendly reminder, karma probably isn't exactly what you've been taught to think it is either. Psychologist Michael Newton, who has done extensive research on the in-between state, said in his book Journey of Souls, "The lesson we must learn from human relationships is accepting people for who they are without expecting our happiness to be totally dependent upon anyone." Reincarnation is more about personal growth, not a romantic pursuit. So while you do have this massive soul family, those soul connections take different forms in each life. Sometimes you do end up being married or romantically linked to the same soul throughout many lifetimes. But also, and this is where it gets really weird, your spouse could have been your child in a past life, or your parent, or your teacher, or just a neighbour. Those of you who haven't immediately stopped reading after that last paragraph, thank you. I know. It's really uncomfortable to think about. Try to remember the actor-character analogy. No one gets mad if Brad Pitt is someone's brother in one movie and portrays their husband in a different movie. This brings me to the next point about soul connections. Yes, they often feel amazing, like the deep bond you have with a relative or a friend. But there's a darker, or at least more difficult side too. Our guy Seth said it like this: if you hate another person, that hate may bind you to him throughout as many lives as you allow the hate to consume you. You draw to yourself in this existence and all others those qualities upon which you concentrate your attention. If there's anyone in your life that you have strong negative reaction to, or seem to keep having adverse experiences with, that might stem from a soul connection as well. Even if you don't have a negative past life history with someone, you could be currently creating one that you will eventually have to deal with again until it's untangled. That's why it's less important to worry about your past life ties to someone, and instead, focus on having the best possible experience in the present. Don't forget the whole time isn't linear thing. Healing a relationship in the present life helps it in the past life as well as the future ones. That does not mean you're obligated to have a relationship with someone, especially if that person really is being toxic. The healing might be more about you holding a boundary and choosing yourself rather than continuing to engage with someone who hurts you. Today I was reading from Jen Scott Pickett's book, Reincarnation Explained Without Religion: What Happens After Death, Why Some Children Remember Past Lives, and How Reincarnation Really Works. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And just to remind you, my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.